Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
You are about to enter the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. This podcast is for mature audiences only. The views and opinions expressed on this show are usually rude, crude, and offensive, and should not be associated with our guests and sponsors in any way. Please proceed to the first available stall and prepare for takeoff.
Welcome, everyone, to another gripping episode of It Burns When I Pee, the number one podcast for roots music, adult comedy, and interviews. The podcasting guy, Blake Clayton, along with his revolving group of co-hosts, are preparing for launch. Please adjust your volume, remove all morals and values, and prepare yourself for what we like to call auditory dysentery. We go live in
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Mission Control to Podcasting God, you are clear to proceed. I repeat, you are clear to proceed.
We'll be right back. welcome to a very special IBWIP on location in Peoria, Illinois. And these Yahoos I have with me right here is Call Me Bronco. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
We have Sam, Aaron, Keith, and Bobby. Right?
Yeah.
All right. So, first question, how did the name Call Me Bronco come about? Who wants to take it?
Uncle Barbecue and the Dum Dums.
Yeah. that was me and Aaron. It came from Groundhog Day.
Okay.
It's the line that Bill Murray says. So.
Was it a unanimous decision or?
I was going to do it as my solo group, my solo thing. And
so that would be yes.
And then Aaron wanted to. I wanted to come hang out with him at a show, and like the good supporter he is of the local scene, he didn't want to pay to get in.
I was like,
we'll just bring your drum kit and play with me, and you'll get free beer. And so he never went away after that.
And then how did you guys get into the band? Just showed up too on different days.
I'm a mouthful of baloney.
Keith, we were gonna record, and so I just kept on telling Keith to show up to shows.
Keith,
I just kept on telling Keith to show up to shows.
I'll return.
I will return. Okay. I'm like, no, you'll learn the songs here. We got a show book, so he didn't know the songs at all. This forced him basically to learn.
Yeah,
basically.
Hey, you want to come record with us? Sure.
Yeah. Actually, we have a show. And
the recording guy never showed up.
Recorded, and then Keith never left.
So they just by default they joined your band without you approving.
This is so false.
I said it.
I can't even play it along. I can't play along one night, and you're like, all right, so we have a tour booked for. How? We don't even know we.
So the first time I heard of Call Me Bronco, my fiance comes back from the Weekender with your guys' CD, and she's like, you got to listen to this band, Call Me Bronco. And I put it in, and it's never left rotation. And then I finally got to see you guys play live at Muddy Roots last year. How did you guys come about getting on the Muddy Roots lineup?
That guy did a lot for Jason.
I volunteered in 2012. And I got to know Jason, and then I kept on bugging him about putting me in. Just constantly bugging him about it. But I actually worked. I did all the. I didn't know what I was doing, but they came up, and I was supposed to be giving bands waters and stuff. And Jason came up to me and asked me if I had any experience as an electrician.
And I said, sure.
I said, yes. Like I.
Always
do to any question that's asked me. And so luckily there was a guy that did know what he was doing, and so I helped Jason wire the cabins, and then I just kept on bugging him about booking us, and so they booked us on the Spring Weekender, and then Xander Schloss told him to book us on the main festival.
So awesome. And I think it was it you guys had like an 11:30 show.
Sunday morning,
11:30, which, to be honest with you, two of the best bands I've seen at Muddy Roots have both had that same time slot, so I think it's a good time slot. But you guys really killed it, and it was quite a crowd. Have you guys had some momentum since showing up on and doing those two?
I haven't been in that many bands that have been on tour, but I've never been in a band that actually just tours worked out so fast.
I've never been in a band where anybody shows up besides your girlfriends and maybe two friends.
But Muddy Roots helped out a lot.
That was insane.
The other two things are, like, we keep on getting show offers and people are like, oh,
I don't know what that is.
IBWIP.
Oh, yeah, it's a sort
of, I'm the illegal
one.
Be
when you pee.
I'm the one that does the illegal things. I'm probably illegal. In every country,
yeah.
And state.
We're not allowed to take you in Canada.
You can't go to Canada.
Or
it keeps on coming up after Muddy Roots.
We need fucking passports.
Probably at least one show I book a tour after this last Muddy Roots is someone
you're
tells
not
me
it
that
back.
My guitar, Bobby's not allowed to trip on acid. Someone dosed him at Muddy Roots last year, and he wreaked havoc among the campsite.
Yeah, I didn't want to take acid.
Yeah, I was asleep and drink too much.
So yeah, and 1180s are not a thing. If you guys didn't know that was a number, 1180 is not a number.
He'll tell you.
So, Bobby, you were gone.
It's not a Kentucky thing. It's an acid thing. It's a strict acid thing.
You were gone when we asked the question, but how did you join the band?
I never had any interest in playing an acoustic guitar. And an ex or a girl thing kept asking me to get an acoustic and play it around the house, and I did, and I swore off bands at the time when I was trying to go to school. And I started learning all these acoustic ditties and runs and stuff, and I'd play guitar with Sam. We'd sit together and do that, and then, yeah. It was cool. Like, well, these are actually Call Me Bronco songs. Will you play?
Now that you've learned them secretly, now we need you to play.
And then we started writing songs together, and then we started making it a habit of just writing together.
To be fair, I didn't want to play music anymore either.
Well, how did you start playing the drums? Or when? Was it for a girl?
Sam just suckers everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll start playing
drums. That's what he does.
Oh, you think you're done? Wait till I come. I played a bit.
I'll make you live my dream.
No inside jokes outside.
Your teens and whatever, but I just stopped. I got married and gave up everything.
That usually happens.
I got divorced.
And then you're like, hey, I got a
dog. That was good.
But you got the dog.
I got the dog.
What are you doing with your drink there?
And then Haas comes along and goes, bring your drum set out. We'll have a good time. So I just start playing drums again.
So how long have you guys been together as Call Me Bronco?
Yeah,
as a whole, been over
as
a year.
This lineup
has been a year.
Wait, when do we get the marriage license?
Actually, it was the goddamn Gallo show.
Yeah, that was the first one that Bobby played.
Ooh, that was bad.
So I think after a year, it's a band is Commonwealth married. So now you guys, when you split all your stuff,
I don't know. Year's not a long.
Well, I mean, me and Sam are actually already on that page when we go on tour.
Right.
Both of us are like, this is mine, and that's you know whatever, and we kind of fend for each other. We're trying to.
So
we're in there.
It got weird.
We're already Commonwealth tour married.
Yeah, tour married.
So depressing songs for the depressed is your guys' album. How long did it take you guys to put that together?
That was recorded probably about a month before Bobby was in the band, and we recorded that in a day. And then we had a day of recording, and then a day of like fixing the mistakes, and
mastering.
So we took about 2 days to do all that. And just
I was there for the first day.
Bitched
and complained and cajoled the entire next day at work to get off early so I could go finish up the next day.
And then
I got there. Sam was like, "Hey man, what's up? We're done." Why the fuck am I here? I don't know.
So, one of the songs that I remember most that caught me off guard at Muddy Roots was the Paul Revere song by the Beastie Boys.
We're not legally allowed to have that recorded.
Right. It's not recorded. I hadn't heard it on a recording at all. But were you guys all influenced by the Beastie Boys or?
Yeah, that was.
Not me.
Yeah.
Hell no.
I really liked the Beastie Boys growing up. They were one of my favorite bands when I was in high school. But it was. That was. I wish I'd never done that.
Really?
Well, because it's a song that everybody wants to hear. It's like.
Cody's bitch about it. Ooh, yeah. He is not happy about that.
Like, I don't know. I want to play my music, and I feel like when I do a cover like that, everybody wants to hear that cover.
Right.
And it's like, well, no, I thought that was just a thing.
Sure, sure. No, I get it.
We made it a part of the set really early on.
We recorded it on our first, EP.
No, it never happened. Like I said, I just saw it live one time.
We can bleep this out.
It takes away from the stuff that you
wrote. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So it's like
everybody wants to hear that.
It's not, I mean... I did the same thing. Me and Bobby had a band called Bosco. We did the same thing with the Wu-Tang song.
God!
And it was just like,
Bosco have to come up every time you do anything?
Well, yeah. I remember you begging to be in Bosco. I remember that.
Oh, come on, guys.
Oh, and next question.
So yeah, I was like before. Yeah. That actually goes into my next question. And when you guys are spending 8 hours in a van together and you start to have disagreements, it doesn't seem like that ever happens with you guys.
Never.
No, actually, no. I mean, in any other, I've spent a lot of my time touring in my life this far, and this band has had the.
Police.
It's almost like none.
We have low grade
narcotics. We've had like two.
Sean for drinking.
We stay bullshit. We've had like two fucking.
We've had two, and that's been it.
That I can even count. Yeah. Like
maybe three, but we have never come to stabbing each other.
No, not even
stabbing.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's where your head goes.
Yeah,
that's not really arguments. Like, I don't like you anymore.
But they're totally really skipped like violent
verbal blows.
We're just very stabby.
We're a stabby man.
Like two or three times.
We dropped the number quick on that. I was like, look, if you get out of line in the van on this tour, you're getting fucking stabbed.
I guess it's because I'm the way I get that.
Right. So. I've heard you guys are working on new stuff, recording new stuff. Are you guys have a plan for a new album?
Yeah, we've got a new EP that we have with us called Death Rides a Pale Bronco, and we're looking for maybe this fall to do something more. That's a 5-song EP, and we kind of rushed that too.
Everything's rushed.
I rush everything.
Just redo everything.
You know, I think we're gonna go redo.
It works for us.
Like the new song. Well, it works, but it's not at that level that it needs to be. Sure. I mean, it works because it's important to have that music out as fast
sure.
as you can.
Sure.
So you have something to sell, so somebody has something to take home
sure.
from
right.
from the show, and so and that's very important to have
to you keep know, your name and fresh in people's
yeah,
minds.
Yeah, well, and to have like constantly have new T-shirts and
sure.
and new music and CDs and stuff like that. So. I have a tendency to rush it, and I you know, kind of look over the fine details. And so when I go back and look at it, I'm like, oh man, I don't really like the way that sounds. I sure. wish I would have sang this differently.
Sure.
Like that. But I've never spent more than 2 days in a studio for anything I've ever done.
Right.
And then I never, you know, do anything more than that. I might get it remixed or slightly mastered a little bit, but then I'd put it out as fast and just start burning it on CDs.
I'm kind of a first take drummer, so.
You're that good, just boom, one take, and you just walk away. What I've noticed from the new stuff is it does seem a little harder than maybe the first album.
Well, those are the songs that me and Bobby wrote together. Like the album, the first EP was me writing the bulk of the work, except for the drum parts and the bass parts. But the rhythm, melody, and lyrics are all fucking.
I wrote at least one line.
I do have to say, Aaron, we have a song that we never recorded that me and Aaron wrote together.
That's probably never going to get recorded.
It'll get recorded, Keith.
It will?
Yeah.
What's the premise?
I mean, it's just. You're breaking up with your girlfriend like half the song.
Right.
But it was just we wrote that song together. But then on the new one, that was after Bobby joined the band. So me and Bobby wrote all those songs together. And
do you think there's that his influence, you know, kind of changed the?
Well, yeah. I like the dynamic of it. I like, and plus it takes.
I mean, you can't really tell.
As he's like over here going hmm.
No, you can't tell at all.
No.
Let's get in there. See, actually, me and Aaron had a plan from the very get-go that we're going to slowly turn it into a doom metal band.
Also, we're going to be a doom metal band with Grand Pulse guitars?
No, not anymore.
No.
No, we've gotten over that.
No. No.
I'm building
guitars in the car right now as we speak.
I know.
They look rustic, but you don't know what they contain.
So, we're going to go through... Bobby, what's your favorite thing about touring?
I actually thrive on tour. I don't on at home at all. Like I'm kind of a scumbag, waste of space, basically. You know, like I walk into a bar, it's like, oh, that fucking guy. But on tour, like I can find my own.
You get in the van, I immediately say,
I sit, I mean, I actually do spend less time partying than anything else. Like, I'm building things or drawing or doing something.
Awesome. What's your least favorite part of touring?
The end.
The end?
I fucking hate going home. I hate fucking going home. I hate going home because
feel that way.
I know it's the end. I know that's the stop of this, and I love to tour. I mean, that's just, I love to go out and meet the new people and fucking have people who've never listened to us hear us.
Yeah, and those of us,
didn't come to you.
I was gonna add on what he said, but I guess I have to wait my turn.
That's why you probably should. I hate touring.
Oh, that wasn't the question. That's your flat answer.
Aaron's a homebody. He's happy when we get home.
He's a what?
I want to be with my girlfriend and my dogs. And
oh, there it is, girlfriend.
And my stepkids. Okay. And
I think it's more.
I know what you said. You said something.
I said something that started with a ha.
So, Sam, what's your least favorite part of touring besides the end?
Besides the end?
Yes.
I mean, I don't necessarily mind it. Like, it's not. It's more of a stop. It's not really an end because when at this point, when we go home, we know when we're going out again. Sure. So it's not like, oh, this is over, guys.
Right.
I know, but
we'll have to wait till next summer for camp. You know?
But it's still. Dang. It's still.
Yeah. But I mean, you get the butterflies and the dread feeling
with you too. When we're driving home, driving into town, you're about home.
Yeah.
You get that butterflies and the dread just.
Yeah, I have a girlfriend that I love at home, and I miss her, and I like being there.
Yeah,
but I also like my favorite thing. I say my favorite thing about tour is I like meeting people, but not having like kind of knowing a bunch of people. You get to see them. You know, three times a year.
Sure.
And you just get to pick up where you left off.
Right.
From the
friendships don't get drudged out.
And you don't learn to hate each other. Like, because there's things about everybody in this band that I can't fucking stand, and I love them for it. And because we've just known each other for long enough. Don't try to act like I'm
hurt
your fucking nerves.
Yeah, God, I hate you.
Snacks as friends.
But, I feel like I should have sat between them.
No, they'll be alright.
I've known him longer.
See, later tonight they'll be snuggled up together.
Right.
It's not gay if it's for survival, it's a cold night, Keith. I'm gonna stay awake all night
and make guitars.
But one of the things is you get to meet people and you don't learn their faults.
All right, I got it.
You don't get to know these people well enough, and sometimes their faults come through in ways that, you know, are apparent, and then you don't work with that person, you don't see them anymore. You just don't get along. But the people you do get along with, you don't have time to know them and to understand what, you know, what is wrong with them, which is what's wrong with all of us.
Right.
And it's
they got a soft couch and a hard shower.
Yeah, they got a soft couch and a hard shower.
After a week in a van, screw it.
Dr. Phil. Tissue.
So, this is a two-part question. The first one is a setup question, just like Maury would do, right?
Brutal.
Which one of you is the cutest one in the band?
Depends on who you ask. If you ask the Butcher of Charleston, she will, by God, tell you Keith.
That's funny.
That leads into the question before.
No, it's not you. It could be either one of us.
It could be either me or Bobby.
Because the reason why I asked that question is because...
What's up?
You're out of the running, dude. I'm sorry.
We were hanging out before the show, and he started telling me the story about the crazy lady who was going to kill all of you. Uh-huh. Who wants to take that and give us the abridged version of that story? Because it was pretty cool.
Well, I mean, there's different parts of that story because there's different things that happened
escaped
while we were all separated.
Story's over.
Separated to conquer?
Look, it all came down to
time and conquer.
She shoved me and Bobby, and that's just why we were following her, even though she had just asked us to accompany her. On the walk while these two idiots drove the van. She overhand threw cats at me.
She overhand
threw cats. The rest of you have nothing. She overhand, like,
dude, like, me and Aaron
she didn't toss. She
fucking shut. Full grown cats.
After she told us not to touch the cats.
Yeah, she was like, "If you touch my cats, I'll fucking kill you." And that is a quote.
She
showed me masks and shit.
Yeah, and she had these creepy masks.
Okay, now everything's just getting fucking jumbo. Yeah.
Let's start with the boys.
Who wants to do the creepy mask description?
Start from the beginning.
Okay, the beginning.
Right. Aaron and I have to walk with her on foot to her house, two blocks away, while these guys drop off a PA that we borrowed two blocks away in the van. And we follow her. Everything's fine and dandy until we get two blocks away, and it's two more blocks and two more blocks. And she starts walking ahead of us, skipping ahead of us, and talking to herself a little bit and giggling about how I used to be.
Downstairs is
how
easy.
I used to be a butcher. And I haven't felt the feeling of cutting meat in so long, and tonight's gonna be so awesome.
Because downstairs is easy, but upstairs is hard.
Downstairs is easy. Upstairs is real hard. I don't think you can handle it, but it's okay. And giggling and maniacally laughing. And we're both like, really? Is it gonna be okay? And then we finally get pretty much once shit happens, but then we pretty much we get close to her house, and she runs. Full speed pushes Aaron. She is Aaron's size. Stature.
She was a very long.
A couple inches shorter.
She was probably as wide.
She was taller than me, shorter than Aaron.
Look, she pushes Aaron just out of the blue. Pushes
and
Aaron.
Wait, about
why the fuck are you following me? Get the fuck away from me. And start screaming bloody murder. And we're both like, what the fuck? This is bullshit.
Right.
And she started laughing. She's like, here it is. It grabs us both by the arm and takes us over to the house. They pull up and these dum-dums come running up and they're like, and they've got their fucking bags, and me and Aaron are like trying to say things without words.
I was like, to say at this point though, we should have not gone.
We're just gonna go upstairs and we're like, no, I'll get to bits. And they're like, oh, what? I don't know, it's cool. We're gonna go upstairs.
Completely oblivious.
Yeah, and then we all get up there and me and Aaron. We just signed our death wish.
All right. So at what point, why didn't the fellas all turn around and just leave?
Well, I mean, because we're stupid.
These guys are walking around getting a tour of the house. Aaron and I are sitting in the living room while they're getting a tour of the house. We're sitting in the middle of the floor with our backs to each other, so we can have a 360 view. We're like, look, brother, we haven't known each other that long, but
it's been real good, man.
You know,
I appreciate your friendship.
This is
I
really, while we're in the room with her.
Remember Mark's Pomeranian?
She's showing
remember
us.
Remember Mark's Pomeranian?
He was
like,
a cute
she
dog.
She literally just picks up roadkill, skins it, and makes art out of it. Well, she's.
I don't know if I can call it art.
Well, that's what she called it. Let's be all unfair. She did fillet a bunch of stuffed animals.
She made scary.
Yeah, and well, at this point, I'm calling our friend Mark who set the show up for us. And he's not answering his phone, trying to see if we can go sleep on his wood floor. Because the whole reason that we didn't do our original plan of going to sleep on Mark's floor is because this girl, who seemed completely normal when we met her at the bar, lured us with promises of beds and couches for everything.
I'd like to hop in here real quick. I'm 6.5 feet tall. These beds and couches that she claimed to have everywhere.
She did not.
She hands me a damn this little fold up like TV, like 7-year-old kid.
It was like a love seat.
It was a strawberry shortcake, early 80s piece of shit. She folded out and pine cones and leaves and just trash and shit fall out. She's like, here's your bed.
Did you make it through the night?
Well,
fuck no, we ran.
This is me and Keith went, she's like, you need to come look at my art. And I had just gotten a hold of Mark. Actually, he called me back while I was in the room. So we go in there, it was the creepiest room I've ever seen. She had tattered bed sheets stapled to the wall.
It was easy cleanup.
What easy cleanup?
Oh, for blood.
Yeah, okay. Easy cleanup.
Anyhow.
It's on the ceiling. It doesn't clean and she had this coat that she had made out of skinned stuffed animals.
She told me she put it
all. And it was like, they were dirty. It wasn't like...
It wasn't
like,
clean.
It wasn't oh, clean. No. They were like some
buddy stairs next to my head monster. It was grubby over here.
The fact that she pulled a Buffalo Bill and just said, when I put it on, I can feel the stuffing.
Then I got a phone call from Mark, and I went outside, and I was like, this girl's fucking crazy. He's like, oh, yeah, I should have told you. She's a little nuts. So I was like,
a little nuts.
I'm going to cut in. Now, this is where I go to the bathroom. I get up out of the living room, and I go into the bathroom. I'm like, I gotta take a piss. I go in there, and the whole time, mind you, they're getting the walk around. Me and Aaron are in the living room, back to back, and we can hear voices, and we're like, shh, shh. Wait, do you hear anybody talking but her? Maybe she's mimicking their voices. We're like, I don't know. I'm gonna go take a piss. And I up and start going to the bathroom, and Sam comes out to go use the phone. So they're out of the bathroom. I go in to take a pee. It is weird. I'm not really concerned with how the fucking surroundings are. I just want to make it out of the house. I just want to make it out of that place. I come out. I pass by. I swear to God, I come into the living room. I pass by a dude over here, something over here in my peripheral.
Oh, we're at home bones?
That was weird. Yeah. And I turn around and look, sit down next to Aaron. I'm like, is she here the whole time? And there's this girl sitting. She's like her mid-20s, but she's missing teeth, like crazy hair, and not like dressed in pajama pants because it's cool, but you know, right. She's got like a 40 inch like butt ice or something. Over. She's like up against the wall, just rocking back and forth and staring at the wall, like, oh, I'm just determined. Fucking,
this is a long story, but it all happened.
Yeah, I come in, I was like, wait, was oh my god, and she been here the whole time, and Aaron's like,
came out of nowhere.
Know. Where'd she come from? Like, she just appeared in the room.
But you guys survived.
Yeah.
Call Me Bronco continues to travel on. Guys, thank you very much for being on the show.
Sorry that took so long.
No, that's why I...
That's not even the end.
Yeah, that's not even the end.
Part two. We'll save it for part two. It'd be like the teaser.
She threw cats at me.
She did throw overhand throw cats.
Wait,
I've got to go get a new one.
I before the interview, I was given a piece of paper, Aaron, and it says, yes, you are the father.
You son of a bitch.
What? Mark?
Mark is not here. Quit molesting each other.
Oh.
Mark from the Mercators?
And I can bottle back and take another off the shelf. His love is just a lie. Don't kill yourself. And I will take what I want, and you can have the rest. Just know what you'll be taking is only second best. And I can't.
sounded good to me.
Look at us. We finally found a reason to play this ridiculous song. Folks, I want to take a few minutes to tell you about our new sponsor, BarkBox.com. Your dog is your best friend and deserves a treat once in a while, right? BarkBox.com is the place to go to get that treat. Once a month, they send your pup a box filled with snacks, toys, and more. Now, we aren't talking about cheap, unsafe, China-produced crap here. This stuff is top-notch, 100% healthy, American-made products. No raw hides or formaldehyde, and no stuff that will harm your dog. You can subscribe for 1 month, 3 months, or even 6 months. Use promo code IBWIP and get $5 off your order. Don't have a dog? Well, first off, that's un-American. But if you don't, you can send a BarkBox subscription as a gift to someone who does. And best of all, 10% of all revenue of BarkBox.com goes to rescues and shelters all over the United States. Again, that's BarkBox.com. Use promo code IBWIP and get $5 off your order. Send us confirmation of your order to Blake@IBWIP.com, and we will even throw in a brand new IBWIP koozie for free. Holy crap, you can't ask for more. Do something great for your dog today. They can't order themselves because they don't have any thumbs. Go to BarkBox.com today and use promo code IBWIP for $5 off.
Thank you.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.